Hello, hello, hello. My name is Abijah Badinu, and you are listening to His Blossoming Daughters podcast, where we, God and myself, help His daughters become the women of God that He has created you to be. On this podcast, we will help you find your purpose, your calling, and we will help you to blossom into that beautiful creation, that beautiful woman that God desires you to be. Hence the name, His Blossoming Daughters. Okay? So if you don't know who I am, my name is Abijah, and I am a daughter of the Most High God. I am the daughter of the Most High God. I love my father, Jehovah. Yes, I love him. And if you don't know, I am a wife, a mother of three beautiful children. I am also an entrepreneur. I have two businesses. One business is a cleaning business, and the name of that cleaning business is Divine Cleaning Services LLC, and we service the DMV, DC, Maryland, and Virginia areas. I also am a licensed realtor in the city of Washington, D.C., the state of Maryland, and also the state of Virginia. If you need to buy or sell a home, I am your girl. All the information will be in the description box. So moving on, I am so excited that today we are launching the His Blossoming Daughters podcast. This has been a long time coming. I remember a few years ago when God first gave me the idea of a podcast. I wanted to do a podcast for the longest. And when he gave me that idea, I just knew in my heart I had to do it. But it just wasn't time. And now it's the time for me to finally launch this baby, to give birth to this baby of a podcast. Because it's not for me, it's for you on the other side, the listener. Someone's going to get saved from this podcast. And the Bible says that for every soul saved is a celebration in heaven. So let's get into this first episode. Are you as excited as I am? I'm very excited. So today we will be sharing a testimony. But before I get into my testimony, I would like to speak a little bit about this podcast and the purpose of this podcast. So this podcast is geared to help God's daughters become a warrior in the spirit, a woman of a noble character, the woman of God that He desires you to be. You know, the world teaches us that we shall live the ways of the world. But when you are a daughter of God, we cannot live the ways of the world. We have to live the ways of God. We have to live according to the scripture. So my job is to help you get from I received Christ, I'm a baby in Christ, to a mature woman of God, a mature woman of a noble character. That is my purpose, and that is the purpose of this podcast. So I hope that you will listen all the way to the end, because there's a great testimony on the other side. Now, today we are going to be talking about how God saved my life, how I came from the world to the kingdom of God, how God saved me, how I became a Christian, and my journey as a woman of God after receiving Christ. Now, if you are still listening, then get your popcorn. And let's get into this testimony. So my testimony starts around the age of 5. And at this age, there was a big change that happened in my life. Because at this age, my mom moved to another part of Maryland. So if you don't know, I am from Maryland. I grew up in Maryland. I grew up in Palmer Park, Maryland, Landover, Maryland, for majority of my life. And there are some other places I lived as well, but not as long as I lived in Landover. So I pretty much grew up in Landover, Maryland. So from the age of 5, my mom moved to a place called Hagerstown, Maryland. Now, I don't know why. I don't know what the reason was that she decided to move up there with my sister's father. But they made that decision to move there. Now, this time in Hagerstown was the worst part of my life. The worst time of my life. And I am going to explain why. So around 5, we moved to Hagerstown. For about a year or so, life was okay. My mom, no, she had a job. She was working. My sister's father was on drugs, but his drug addiction didn't really affect me in that way at that time. Because I really didn't know. But it was kind of obvious. But I was a little girl, so I wasn't paying attention to those kind of things. So at around 5, 6, something happened to me that really changed my life for the worse. So at the age of 5-ish, 6, I got molested by a family member that was a girl, and that situation that happened to me, it opened a lot of doors in my life. It opened a lot of anger issues, and mainly anger because I felt like I wasn't protected. And I can also say that door gave me a desire for women. Now, I'm going to speak more about that later on, but I developed a desire for women after that situation. Now, from there, I did not tell my mom because the family member was only a few years older than myself. So I was about 5, maybe they were about 9. And I also didn't feel comfortable telling my mom because at that time, I didn't feel that openness to speak to her or to tell her what happened. So moving on, about another year or so that went by, my sister's father ended up getting locked up. He ended up going to jail for a reason I don't know. And when he went to jail, this is when things got worse. So my mom ended up in a relationship with another guy. And this guy, I don't know how things moved. They moved very quickly with this guy. And we ended up moving in an apartment. Okay, so after my sister's father went to jail, we ended up becoming homeless. And during that time, we had to get into a shelter. So we were living in a shelter. And then we were living, it's called Salvation Army. A Salvation Army Women's Shelter in Hagerstown, Maryland. So around that time, my mom ended up getting a job at a hotel. And through that job, she met the sister of the guy. And then that's how the guy and my mom got connected. Now, things moved very quickly. And my mom ended up moving in with, or they ended up getting a place together, his sisters and my mom and him, their brother, we ended up getting a duplex with each other, but we were all living in the same house, basically. And there was two rooms in the attic, and then on the main floor there was one room, and the kitchen, living room, and all of that. So I can say we were probably living with these people for about a year or two. Now, what started to happen was the sisters were very verbally abusive to me. They would call me sluts and the B words and the whole word. Like, they would call me hoes, and they were not nice to me at all. They would pick with me all the time. And I remember when I had a diary, and I would write, like, anytime that I would get upset or they would call me names or anything like that, I would write it in my diary. And one day, one of the sisters went into my bag and read my diary. Now, these are grown women. These are women in their 20s, in their 30s. And they read my diary, and they start cursing me out, yelling at me, and screaming at me. Now, at this time, I'm about 6 or 7. And they were calling me all kinds of names. Bees, whores, hoes, sluts, stupid, you know, cursing me out, a little girl. Okay, so after that, now their brother, started to be very abusive towards my mom. And then eventually the sisters moved out, got their own place, and this is when the times got really, really dark. During this time that we were living with this man, I just remember the abuse that was happening. Now, I don't want to speak on my mom's side because I would love for her to share her own testimony, but I'm going to tell you what happened to me. So I remember him beating me with sticks. He would take the stick from the blinds and whip me with it. I remember there are times where I don't even remember what I would do that I would get in trouble. And he would tell me, stand in the corner, and then he would say, if I move, he will hit me. So any little movement, he was hitting me. If I move my head a little bit, he will hit me with those sticks or whatever he had in his hand, cords, whatever it was. He was very, very abusive. This man was a monster in my eyes. I remember being locked in the attic, and I can't even remember what I did to be locked in the attic. So something happened. I don't know what I did, but I just remember being in the room that was up in the attic and being up there for hours and screaming and crying and just asking God for me to die. I was literally screaming, I just want to die. At 6 or 7, I was screaming, I just want to die. Now, during this time that we lived with him, my mom did allow me. I don't remember if my siblings were going to church with me, but I do remember my mom allowing me to go to church. So there used to be a bus, a blue bus, that would come around the neighborhood to pick up the kids for Sunday school, and my mom would allow me to go. But my mom never talked to me about Christ or Jesus or God or anything like that. So I will only hear, Jesus. I will only hear about Jesus or Christ or, you know, the baby stories that they tell us in, the children's ministry from church. So going to church, I knew there was a God. I heard about Jesus. I didn't know much about Jesus, but I knew in my heart there was a God. There was someone out there. There was someone up there that was there. I just knew it, even at that young age. And with the abuse that was happening in the home, I remember that it got so bad and things were just happening. I don't want to speak on too much or all the things that were happening, but a lot of abuse was happening in the home. And some of the stuff God has not allowed me to remember. And I think if he allowed me to remember those things, it would probably be worse for my mental state. But I recently, my brother said that he remembered the guy telling my 3 or 4 year old brother he would give him some kind of stick and then tell him to beat me. Now that I did not remember until my brother reminded me, and then I remembered. So I remember for my birthday, my mom bought me a cake. And when they were singing happy birthday and my mom told me, okay, make a wish. My wish was that we would leave that guy and never see him again. And baby, God must have heard my wish, heard my prayer, because within a month, my brother and my sister were taken out of the home, and we ended up with my grandmother. And I don't know the circumstance or what happened. I was told later on what happened, but I'm not going to reveal that on this podcast. So something happened, and the CPS took us out of the home and took us down back to DC where my grandmother was for the summer. So during that time we were in DC with my grandmother, we did not know where my mom was. We did not know where she was at all. So we were there with my grandmother, and then because my grandmother had to work, she sent us with my aunt. Now at that time, I was so relieved because we were not in that man's presence anymore. And I just knew it was my wish. I just knew in my heart that when I made that wish, God heard me. And God said, let me help my daughter. Because in a month, we were not around that guy. So when some time passed and we were still with my grandmother, we were with my aunt, and then eventually we went back with my mom. And when we went back with my mom, she was no longer with the guy. So I knew in my heart that that wish came true, because I literally wished that we would leave that guy and we would never see him again. And I can testify that since that day, or since that time, I have never seen that guy again by the grace of God. So all of that abuse and being molested, it opened me to the spirit of rage and anger. I became so angry. I became a bit rebellious in a way. Don't get me wrong. I respected my mom, but I was a mouthy little girl. I listened to my mom, but I did not respect her. I was very angry towards her because I just felt like, why did we have to go through that? And I was having anger towards my mom, but I was a child, you know. But that wasn't the end. So when we went back with my mom, we were homeless about two more times after that situation. So in Hagerstown, we were homeless about three times, and we were in shelters each time that we were homeless. And then I remember when we moved, my sister's father got out of jail, and then we moved. Now, he was in jail for about 3 years, I think, 3 or 4 years. But when he came out, we moved back to D.C. We moved back to Landover, Maryland. I'm sorry, we moved to Oxon Hill, Maryland. Yeah, Oxon Hill, Murray Avenue, Maryland. And when we went to Murray Avenue, life got a little better. Of course, with my sister's father, he was not abusive towards my mom. But, you know, they had their arguments, their petty arguments, fights, stuff like that. But there was no, like, physical abuse. But me, I did not really like him at all. So before we moved to Oxon Hill, we spent about 6 months with my grandmother in Chilham, Maryland. And when we moved back to that part of Maryland, I had to switch schools. And when I went to this new school in Chilham, I was bullied really, really bad. To the point, I had no friends in that class. I was very lonely. It got so bad that the teachers had to, like, intervene at times to talk. They were talking to the students, telling them what they're doing is wrong, but they didn't listen. And the only time they were nice to me was when my mom came to the school for a field trip and she had brought me lunch. And then that's when everybody wanted to be so nice to me. But when my mom was not around, it was really bad bullying that was happening to me. And I didn't tell my mom. I just didn't feel that comfortable talking to her about it. So I held a lot of stuff inside. And the bullying was so bad that I couldn't even concentrate on my work. So that summer, I had to go to summer school because I was falling behind on schoolwork and things like that. So with summer school, that was the only reason I made it to the fifth grade. When we moved to Oxon Hill that next school year, I became the bully because I told myself, I am not going to let anyone at this new school bully me. Because when we moved, of course, I had to go to a new school. I had to go to the neighborhood school, and I became the bully. And I fought so much in that school. It was so bad. The principal did not want me in that school. So I was there for fifth grade and sixth grade. And when it came to sixth grade, the principal literally told my mom, I had lost one of their books. And in order for me to move on or to graduate into middle school, my mom had to pay for the book. And the principal literally told my mom, please, please do all possible to pay this book. Because we cannot have your daughter in this school anymore. Yeah, she begged my mom to pay for the book so that I can move on. She did not want me in that school. I mean, I was getting suspended like every other week. My mom didn't know what to do. She was just like, she just didn't know what to do with me. I was just fighting anyone. I fought the teacher. I fought boys. I fought girls. I just didn't care anymore because of everything that I went through, the molestation, the bullying, the abuse. I just didn't care about life. There was times where I literally wanted to die. Like, I would say, God, just take me. As a little girl, I was only 10 or 11 years old, and I didn't want to be alive. And I remember when I visit my aunt, and she had a balcony. So I remember when I got on the balcony, and I heard a voice tell me to jump. I heard a voice say, just jump. It will be fun. And I looked over the balcony. I was like, ooh, this is high. And I put my foot on the balcony, not to jump, but just to look over. And then I heard another voice say, no, don't jump. Go back inside. Now that I'm older, I now know that the voice that told me to jump was the devil. And the voice that told me not to jump and to go back inside was my father. That was God. And I heard that voice. I heard those voices every time that I got on the balcony. Any balcony that I got on, I heard a voice say, jump. It's fun. It will be fun. And then I heard another voice say, no, go back inside. Now, that voice that told me, no, go back inside, I would hear that more in my life later on. But when I get there, I will explain more. So, yeah, from the sixth grade, we ended up moving back to Palmer Park, Maryland. I had lived in Palmer Park when I was like five years old before we moved to Hagerstown. That's where I grew up. And then I had moved back to Palmer Park when I went to middle school. So now I'm in middle school. I didn't fight as much in middle school because by this time it was a new school. I just kind of wanted to start over. And I did get in a few little altercations, but nothing like it was in the fifth and the sixth grade. Now, when I went to middle school, I was okay. I didn't fight in school because now I'm getting older and I did not want to stay back. But outside of school, I was still fighting. I still didn't care. I had that mentality, kind of that nonchalant mentality. Like, I just didn't care. I didn't care about nothing. I didn't care about no one. I didn't care who the person was. I still fought. And that led me until I was 15 and I got in an altercation with this man. Yeah, because even at 15, I thought I could fight men, grown men. Now, this man ended up slapping me in my face. And then my sister's father and my mom, they all ended up getting into a fight because he slapped me in the face. But God used that slap to get me in check because I was headed for destruction. I was headed down the wrong path. And I just know now I know that if I would have continued that path of fighting and the way I was, I probably would have been dead or in jail. Yeah, because the way my mindset was at that time, the way I just didn't care about nothing, about life, about no one, I know I would have ended up in jail or dead. So after that slap, and that kind of checked me, and I started to try to get my life together. So now I'm in high school. I'm doing well in high school. I do my work. I go to class. I kind of calmed down during this time of my life because I didn't want anything to happen to myself. Now, when I turned 18, so growing up, I wanted to be a fashion designer. I would draw. I would I just knew I was going to be a fashion designer. So at the age of 18, when I applied to some schools, one in particular was FIT in New York. Now, I didn't get accepted. Although they told me that my work was good, I didn't get accepted. They said there were people who had better work. And that right there, that kind of put a bit of sadness in my heart, because I really wanted to go to school. I really wanted to leave my environment. I just felt so trapped. I felt stuck. I just felt so lost. And I didn't have a plan B. So then I applied for the Art Institute. Now, the Art Institute, anyone can pretty much get accepted, but that school is so expensive. And so my mom, she was going to help me to pay for the school, but it was just too much and she couldn't afford the entire bill, and neither could I. And I didn't want to get any loans. I didn't want to go that route. At that age, I just didn't want to have that debt over my head. And then I also have family members that were like, no, try not to get into that loan stuff. So at 18, I didn't get into FIT. I didn't start the process with Art Institute. So my aunt reached out to me and she told me about a school in Baltimore called BCCC, Baltimore City Community College. And she told me they had a fashion design program. So I ended up getting into that fashion design program. And then 1 year later, my mom ended up moving to North Carolina. And I saw that as my opportunity to get away. So I left. I went with her. But in 6 months, I came right on back because, baby, North Carolina was not for me. It was not for me at that time of my life. I was 19. About to turn 20, you know, I didn't have my life together, and it was just not that time in my life where I wanted to be in that kind of environment. So I came back to DC and I stayed with my grandmother. And during this time, I got back into, so when I left to move with my mom, I had to drop all my classes for the school in Baltimore because, you know, I can't go there. And when I was going to that school, Monday through Thursday, I would catch three buses and the MARC train. So I would wake up at 5 a.m., leave the house by 6. I would get to school at 8 p.m. My class would start at 8:30. I would be at school from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. I would get back on the train and get home. I would leave at 4, get back on the train, get home by 6. And then from 6, I would go to the gym because I used to exercise at the boxing gym in Palmer Park. It's called Ray Leonard Boxing Center. And I would go box at the center from 6 to about 8. And then on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I would work. And that's what I did for that 1 year that I went to that school. Now, when I came back from North Carolina, everything changed because now I'm no longer going to that school. I signed up for Prince George's Community College for business administration because when I was in the school for fashion, the teacher literally told us, if you really want to make money, you need to learn the business of fashion, more of the business of fashion and less of the actual art of fashion. So I took that. I took what she said and I ran with it. So I went to Prince George's Community College, and I signed up for business administration and I started going to school. So I think I was a year in, But during this time that I was in school, I started drinking and partying. Now, I was pretty much doing well in school, but on the weekends, I would go out, get drunk, and that was the life I lived for about a year. So, I can say that my partying and drinking got excessive because I was depressed. I was heavily depressed because I had this dream of being a fashion designer. I felt like everything was just falling apart. My mom was in another state. And things just felt like it wasn't working for me. Although I was in school and I felt like, you know, I'm on the right path, I just felt depressed. I was depressed. I was not happy. I was sad. I forgot to mention that when I turned 15, there was a time when I went to church with my aunt. So my aunt would, as a teenager, my aunt would come sometimes to pick us up for church and take us to her church. And there was a time when I was around 15 when I went to church and there was an altar call. And when I stood up, not because I wanted to go to the altar, but I stood up because the pastor said he was going to pray something of that nature. And that's why I stood up. So, but the woman, she came and she like grabbed me and took me to the front. Now, I was okay to give my life to Christ, but when I went to the front and they took us to the back, they were kind of pushing baptism on me. And they were like, no, you have to get baptized the next day. And I was not ready to do that. I just felt forced. I felt so forced to give my life to Christ and then get baptized. I just felt like it was a rush. I felt forced. And that right there, it turned me away. And I told my mom. My mom was like, no, you know, no, we're not about to do that. Like, if anything, if you're going to get baptized, I need to be there. And she was just not happy about it. So that situation made me turn away from Jesus. Now, I say Jesus because I still believed in God. I still believed there was a God. But it turned me away from Jesus. And it made me not believe in Jesus. And it made me not believe in the Bible. Now, this is how the devil deceived me from that situation. Now, fast forward back to when I was in college. So during this time, life was very, very rough. I mean, I had a job. I always worked, but it always felt like I had no money. And I dealt with that by just drinking and partying excessively. Now, I want to bring back the moment I got molested, and I told you guys that I felt this desire towards women or towards girls. Now, when I got older, now all of this, I'm saying all of this because it's going to mean something later on in episode 2. I will be able to explain more. Episode 2, I'm going to talk more about my deliverance testimony, but not in this episode. So I started having this desire to be with women. And I remember there was one lady, she dressed like a boy, and I don't know all the terms, so, you know, don't be in my comments. She dressed like a boy, and I was so in love with this woman. I was so in love with her. And I was literally so close to sleeping with that lady. So I remember there was a time when she came into my bedroom. I mean, because she was friends with my mom. Everybody, you know, she hung out with everybody. She paid for me to get a lip piercing, but I took it out the same day because it was so painful. So I got my lip pierced. She paid for it, took it out like the next day because my lip was swollen and I was like, nah, that's not for me. And I took it out. But she was somebody, I just fell in love with that girl, that woman. And I remember one day she came into my room and she literally sat on my bed. My door was open, but she sat on my bed and we're literally looking at each other smiling. And she asked me, have you ever been with a girl, a woman? I said, no. She said, do you want to be with a woman? I said, yeah. And she leaned in to kiss me, but then my mom walked in the house and we both kind of like jumped. And she got up and she left out my room. And a few months after that, she was dead. She got killed. Someone murdered her. Yeah. I don't know the whole situation of what happened, but yeah, a few months later, she was found dead in the ditch. So, I felt like God never allowed me to go that far with a woman for my protection. Yeah, God was protecting me with that because, yeah, baby, I was ready, hot and ready. But God did not allow it to happen. So yeah, during this time I was just depressed and sad, and I just dealt with it by partying a lot. Now I ended up meeting this guy, and I don't know how I fell straight into this relationship. I fell into this relationship because I definitely was not looking for it. At this time, my last boyfriend had cheated on me. And yeah, we won't go into that. But I got into this relationship and it was a very toxic, borderline abusive relationship. I say borderline because it wasn't that, like, it wasn't like abusive, but it was borderline abuse. And getting into that relationship, it was so distracting from everything that was happening. I failed all my classes. I bought a car, but within less than a year, that car got repossessed. I got into a fight, and by this time I have not been fighting. Because now I'm a grown girl. I'm like 23 years old. I'm not about to be out there fighting. But I ended up getting into a fight. And that fight was so embarrassing. Because the whole neighborhood was there. And I don't care. I still fought. I stood my ground. But that fight was very embarrassing for me. And I knew that God did not want me to fight. He did not want me to fight anymore. From that situation that happened when I was 15. But because I was being hard-headed, I was not listening to God, I got into a fight. Yeah. So remember I told you guys that voice that told me not to jump off the balcony? Now, I would hear this voice again and again and again growing, like in my teenage years. I heard this voice tell me that when I was about to get into another fight when I was around 14, I would hear this voice tell me, oh yeah, you about to fight. Let's go fight. And then I heard God's voice, the Holy Spirit, tell me, no, don't go fight. But this time I didn't listen to that voice tell me not to go fight. I went to fight. And when I went to fight, that's how I met all my friends that I grew up with. So, I also heard that voice again one day when I was in high school. I met this Hispanic guy. And then the next, it's like 2 days later, we were only talking for about a week. And he came and picked me up from my friend's house one weekend. And he was taking us somewhere. He and his friend was drunk. They asked us if we wanted to drink, but I heard that voice say, "Don't drink." And so I said, "I'm not going to drink." By this time, I have heard that voice many other times. So I knew, like, okay, something's telling me not to drink. I'm not going to drink because I have heard this voice before. And this voice has always been there when it's a time of need. And this voice has never led me the wrong way. So I'm going to listen. So I'm so glad that I listened to that voice and I didn't drink 1 ounce of liquor. Now my friends were drinking. The Hispanic guy was drinking. His friend in the passenger seat was drinking. And we didn't know, but the guy was swerving. And we were young and dumb because we didn't even know where these people were taking us. They said they were taking us somewhere in Annapolis. We didn't know what was about to happen to us. We were so naive and so dumb to even be in the car with somebody I only knew for a week. And so he was swerving the car and the police ended up pulling us over. And I thank God. I knew God was saving us. I knew God saved our lives that night. And that's nothing but the grace of God. My father was with me that night. He knew that those boys had something bad planned for us. I don't know if they were going to rape us or try to rape us, or I don't know what their plan was for us. But God saved our lives that night. And so the police officer pulled us over. And he was like, "Look, I know y'all young, y'all girls. You know, do you know these boys?" I said, "No, there's some people, they're from school, but we don't know them like that." He was like, "Look, y'all girls, y'all young, I know y'all want to drink and stuff like that, but to be honest, you guys need to be more careful about who you get in the car with. You don't know these boys." And he gave us a lecture. And then, so the Hispanic boy got sent to jail. He got locked up. He got arrested, I'm sorry, because he was drinking and driving and he was swerving. So he got arrested. Then the other boy who was also drunk, he wanted to drive the car, but I said no, because I'm going to drive and I'm going to drive us home. And he was a little upset, but he couldn't do nothing because it was me and my two other friends and we were going to jump him if he tried. We were going to jump him, baby. We were going to jump him if he even tried anything. So by this time, the police asked the Hispanic guy, "Who's going to come get your car?" And I said, "Well, I can drive it. I have my learners." Yeah, because at this time I had a learners. And he said, "Have you been drinking?" I said, "No, I didn't drink anything." And he did the test. He saw that I didn't have any alcohol in my system. And he said, "Okay, I know you have a learners, but I'm going to trust you that you're going to get, like, take this car and go home." And he allowed me to drive off with the learners. So we dropped the friend off. And then me and my girls, we went back to my friend's house. And I knew that was the grace of God. So that was nothing but the Lord. Even though I didn't believe in Jesus, I knew that was God protecting me. Okay. So now back to the age 23, I got into this relationship, and this relationship was not a relationship that I knew in my heart that God did not want me to be in that relationship. He didn't want me to be in that relationship. If someone, this person had told me that he himself was born on Halloween and he is the devil. He told me that out of his mouth, but I was being so dumb. I was so blind. And I didn't pay attention to what he said. So by the, let's say, 6 months mark of that relationship, after my life turned upside down, I lost my job. Yeah, I lost my job. I lost my car. I lost my school. I dropped, you know, failed all my classes in school. My life just started drastically going down. But the more it went down, the more I just partied and partied and partied. And I was drunk and drunk. Now, I was getting so drunk that I would wake up in my best friend's bed with her dude. Not that we weren't doing anything. It wasn't like that. But I was just so drunk and they didn't know where to put me. Because I was drunk. I remember being carried into my grandmother's apartment because I was so drunk. Yeah. So that's what I did. And that's what I did for confidence. That's what I did for just to forget about life. Forget about everything that has happened to me. That's what I did. Now, I knew it was becoming a problem when I got so drunk, I threw up. Now, I'm not a person who normally throws up. Now I'm throwing up, not remembering what happened to me. I was like, oh no, something got to give. So, towards the end of this relationship, it was, let's say the relationship started about November-ish. And so, around May the next year, I think that was 2016, around May 2016, there was a situation that happened. I was in the hospital, and there was a situation that happened. And after that situation happened, I literally prayed, and I said, God, I know this is not the relationship you want for me, but I don't know how to get out of this. I need your help. And that was it. That was my prayer. And because I was not a prayerful person, I didn't know really about praying and all of that. But I just knew, like, I had a father. I had someone that was out there that I knew there was a God. Like, I just knew in my heart. And so that was May. In July, this person called me and basically said the relationship was over. Now, I was happy, but I was also a little bit upset. I want to use another word, but I'm Christian now, so I can't. So I was a little upset because I was like, all that this person put me through, but I was also very, very happy. I was very, very relieved. And after that, after the person broke up with me, my life started to get better. Now, during this time that the person broke up with me, my grandmother had went into a coma she had a surgery that got infected and that put her into a coma. So now, the apartment we lived in, it was in her name. So towards the end of that year, I had to move out. But after this person broke up with me, my life started to get better. I got my job back, the job that I got fired. Well, I didn't really get fired. I kind of quit, but I lost that job. I got that job back. 2 months later, I got a job doing security. And that job was paying me way more than, you know, the other job. Then I ended up moving into an apartment with my cousin the end of that year, the beginning of the next year. 2017, we both got an apartment together. And then a few months after I got into that apartment, I got another security job that paid even more. So it was like, I felt like my life was getting better. Things were just moving in a better path. Now, January 4th, 2017, I ended up meeting my husband, which was the best part of this whole testimony. I met my husband on January 4th, and then, so, the ex from the toxic relationship ended up coming back around the same exact time, but at this time, it didn't really go anywhere, because I just knew that it wasn't it, like, and I think the person knew that too, like, we just need to go our separate ways. And so I started dating my husband. And then we got married. Now, 6 months after I got married to my husband. Now, I got married September of that same year. So, I met him in January. We started dating in like February, March. And then we got married in September. Now, February 2018 is when my husband asked me to go to church with him. Now, he was also a newfound believer. Like, he would go to church sometimes. He was kind of trying to get his life back on the right path with God as well. He came out of Catholicism. So he was trying to get to know this Jesus, this Christ that we know, this God that Christians know. So he asked me to go to church, and I literally told him, I don't believe in Jesus. And I told myself I would never step back in the church, but I will do it for you. And I can say that was the best decision I probably ever made in my life, was to go to church with my husband. Now, 2 months after I started going to church with him, the warfare started, but I'm not going to speak on that today. You guys got to wait for episode 2 when I start talking about my deliverance story, okay? Y'all got to wait. Now, February 2018, we started going back to church. And it was a lot of warfare going on once I started going back to church. Like, the devil knew, nah, we can't let this one. We can't let her. We can't let that happen. The devil was coming at me full force. It was a lot. It was really, really bad. And the more I went to church, the more I heard the word of God, the more I was surrounded with people of prayer, getting to know the members of the church, the more I started to believe in Jesus. I still kind of had some issues with his skin color, because I was like, I'm not about to serve no white Jesus. Like, I just knew, like, I was not about to serve a white Jesus. I told my husband, I said, nah, like, I'm starting to believe, but I just can't follow a white man. I just couldn't. But I started to believe, and the more I heard the word, I was being transformed without really knowing it. But it wasn't until, so the end of 2018, the warfare got so bad that my pastor at the time made a decision that we had to do an emergency baptism, right? Now, he made that decision because of my situation. Now, I'm not saying that's everybody in their situation, but what I was going through at the end of that year 2018 was a life or death matter. And he felt like it was the right decision for me to get baptized, because getting that baptism was like the for sure knowing that I am in Christ and now I'm protected. Okay. So, fast forward to May 2018, I was pregnant with my baby, and I got baptized. I was believing in Jesus at this point, but not fully and not wholeheartedly. I was believing some stuff, and there was still a battle in my heart about how much I wanted to believe in this Jesus, but I got baptized. And getting baptized was like another level of the best thing I could have ever done in my life, because that baptism opened my eyes to so much more. Now, after I got baptized, there became this battle in my heart, in my mind, in my heart, about whether I should surrender my life to Christ, whether I wanted to really follow this white Jesus. There was this battle. And I believe that in 2020, in January 2020, I got baptized by the Holy Spirit. I believe that God allowed me to be baptized by the Holy Spirit because of that battle in my heart. And being baptized by the Holy Spirit and receiving the gift of speaking in tongue, it gave me that reassurance that Jesus is really the truth, the way, and the life. Like, there was a knowledge that I received that day that I knew for a fact that Jesus is who he say he is. It's not a doubt in my heart that Jesus is who he say he is. At that point, I didn't care about his color. I didn't care about what he looked like. I knew that Jesus was the truth. And that day, I gave my life to Christ. Fully. Wholeheartedly. Surrender. But that baptism of the Holy Spirit, that opened a whole nother can of worms in my life. But gotta wait for part two. You gotta wait for part two. Episode two. Hey. Okay. Yeah, you guys gotta wait for episode two. And I just want to say that giving my life to Christ has been such a blessing. From the year 2020 to where I am now, the woman I am today, I couldn't have ever imagined that I would be who I am today. The peace that I have in my heart, the love that I have in the joy that I have, the patience, the self-control. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect, because, baby, people be trying me. But I can say that I am on the way of becoming that woman that God has created me to be. I am blossoming. I have not blossomed yet, but I am blossoming. And I give all the credit to God the Almighty. Glory, glory, glory. Holy, holy, holy thy name. Holy, holy, holy. May his kingdom come. May his will be done on earth and in heaven. Baby, you guys, if you want that peace, if you want a peace that nobody can break, if you want a joy that no one can take, if you want a love that is uncontrollable, then you need Jesus. Seek Jesus. He can give you that. There's a love and a peace that you get from Christ that no one on this earth can give you. There's a confidence that he gives you that you can't get from anywhere. You can wear all the makeup you want. You can wear all the weave you want. You can wear the heels, the clothes, the jewelry. But the confidence that God gives you will super exceed all of those things, all of those material things. Because the confidence doesn't come from the material things that you put on your body. But the confidence comes from within. It's the peace and the joy that God gives you. And now I have that peace. I have that joy. I have a wonderful husband. I have a beautiful, beautiful children. I have three beautiful children. I have people that surround me, that love me, you know, that care for me. Not only me, but my family. I can't ask for enough. I mean, I don't know what else to ask for. I have a God that will break the wind. Like he will, I can't explain it. I have a God that cares for me, that loves me, that protects me, that protects my children, love my children, my husband. Like, he loves me. And he loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his only son to die, to be whipped and beaten. Yes, in Isaiah, it says he was marred beyond recognition. He was disfigured. Can you imagine what Jesus went through to take our sins on his back? Like, every whip that he received was for us. Every time someone spit on him, beat him, punched him, it was for our sins, so that we can be made whole again with our Father, so that we can have a eternal life with our God. If that's not love, I don't know what else to tell you. This man, he came from being a rich, wealthy, like in the heavens, he had everything. And he came down and on the earth to be poor, just to be sacrificed. I can't tell you guys what decision to make. But if you care about what's going to happen to you when you leave this earth, I would say choose Jesus. Because he is the truth, the way, and the life. And if you want to believe, if you're having a hard time believing, ask God to reveal himself to you. He did it with me. He revealed himself to me the night before I received the baptism. I met God. He came to me as a little boy, but I knew it was God, and that changed my life forever. I had an encounter with God. So I just want to say, I want to end this podcast by saying that it doesn't matter what you have done, what you have been through, God can heal you. He can heal your trauma. He can heal your body, your illnesses, your mental health. He can do it. Nothing is impossible for our God. I'm a testimony to it. I've been healed. I mean, he healed me from my childhood trauma. He has healed me numerous times when I have been ill. He has protected my children. He has done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. I can't go back. So if you want to get to know this God that I serve, continue listening. Learn more about him. Do some research. Purchase a Bible. And read the Bible. The Bible is God's word. So whatever's in that Bible is his word. Now, it got to be the right Bible. Because, you know, I don't know about some of these Bibles out here. You know, we ain't going to talk about that. But so that is my testimony of how I received Christ. And episode 2, we're going to talk more about experience that I had with deliverance, how God delivered me from levels and levels of different things. Baby, I was a walking. I was just walking around with demons, right? Baby. Yeah, that story is another maybe hour-long podcast. But yeah, we're going to talk more about how God delivered me from numerous things, levels and levels of deliverance that I went through. And God is going to get all the glory in that episode. Now, if you have made it to the end, I just want to say thank you for supporting me on my first episode of His Blossoming Daughters podcast. Thank you so much. I love you all. Christ loves you and God loves you. Okay? And I ask that if you want to support this podcast, please share. Please share. Please, please, please share with your friends, share with your mom, share with your sister, your girls, whoever, your daughter. Share this podcast. That will help me so, so, so much. And not only will it help me, but it will help someone who may need to hear this. Don't be surprised. There are a lot of women going through the same thing that you are going through, and they may need to hear this as well. So please share. If you would like to follow us on social media, our social media tag is at His Blossoming Daughters Podcast. Now, I think it's just His Blossoming Daughters. Yeah, so follow us on His Blossoming Daughters. I also have my business account for anyone who would like to learn more about my real estate business. And the name is that, and the name of that tag is Abijah Badenu. But soon I am going to be changing that to Sold by Abijah. Okay? I'm going to leave all the information down at the bottom. And yeah, if you would like to support my cleaning business, I will leave a link as well. We do service the DMV area, Northern Virginia, all of Washington, D.C., and Western Maryland. So, thank you all for listening. I hope that you guys will share, will subscribe. I will be dropping this podcast on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So watch out for all of that information. I love you guys. I love you, love you, love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you guys have a wonderful, wonderful day or evening or night whenever you're listening to this podcast. But know that your girl, Abijah, loves you. All right. Good night or good morning or I don't know when you're going to listen to it. But see y'all later. All right. Bye.